Hello, magic seekers, and welcome to It Turns Out She's a Witch.
We're your hosts, Laura and Shannon,
and welcome to our podcast coven.
To our beautiful podcast coven. We are back for another episode of Turns Out She's a Witch, and we have a really cool episode coming up today for you, and it's something we've never done before.
No, it's not. This is more of a interactive workshop that we've done with gorgeous Holly, who has the Lunation Annual Planner, and there's a lot in this planner, as Holly will explain, and there's also lots that we can do to help work around it and use it properly. But also what we've done in this episode is like a live workshop based on Holly facilitating different questions to work through to get to our vision statement for the year ahead.
Yeah. Which is really powerful.
Yeah.
And it's a really powerful process that she is just so amazing at guiding through. Yeah. So I would suggest you get yourself a pen and paper. And as Holly does explain, this isn't probably the episode you're going to listen to on the way to work. You probably want to be sitting down, cup of tea,
present.
and workshop this as well.
Play along. Yes, work through it with us at your pace. And if you are driving, that's cool. Just listen back at another time, and it might plant some seeds of thought into how to create your next year of your choosing. Turns Out She's a Witch podcast would like to begin today by acknowledging the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which we live and record this podcast. And we pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
We have a special guest on the podcast today who we are thrilled to be reconnecting with. She's a therapist and coach with a background in natural and ancestral health, wellness, sacred space, martial arts, and functional movement. She promotes self-care-based lifestyling, facilitated through counselling and coaching, personal and community development, and feminist values. In honouring life's transitions, the healing process is supported with compassionate inquiry, personal reflection, and purposeful action. Her mission is to support people who know there's more to life, to craft the best self version so far. She's passionate about empowering people to live well with an unlimited and unbound life. She promotes choice and believes in the capacity of human beings to do extraordinary things when they live authentically. Welcome back to the podcast, Holly.
Thanks, women.
Yay.
Every time I hear that bio, I'm like, that lady sounds so cool.
Yes, I want to be her when I grow up.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm out here on Wolbunji Yuin land, where the language is the Derga language, which is kind of between Canberra and the south coast.
Mm. Yeah, our southern beautiful friend.
Thank you for acknowledging. Mm. Yes. So, Holly, what's been happening in your world since we last connected with you on the podcast back in August?
Yeah, well, just very recently. I mean, I've just come off spring retreat last night, so that's very present. And if I get a bit stumbly, it's because I've been talking nonstop for 3 days teaching, right? But I guess what's more important than that, the big news that's been happening is I've had a name change. So this is a bit tricky in the podcast world because there's a bunch of stuff with my old name, which was Holly Baker Bolzerak, and now I'm stepping into Holly Wilderthorn, which is it's a combination of becoming owned by the land on which I live. We call our property the Wild with an E. Mm-hmm. So it's that piece, but also I have a family ancestral lineage with the name Hawthorne. When my ancestors first came to Australia, we were Hawthorne. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And my great, I can't remember how many greats it is, but grandmother was a midwife out living in a tent on the Bendigo goldfields at that time.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of I feel that I'm bringing myself into that, like, ownership of the land and of my actual ancestral heritage and reclaiming that, as opposed to, like, the other things that we pick up along the way that, I don't need to carry. I just need to carry where I am and who I am. So that's been the big news lately.
Yeah, and a big change from our last episode, because I know we did speak quite a bit about your surname and where it came from and that kind of thing. So it's so nice to be on this journey with you and get to observe at such a close level and a personal level. So thanks so much for sharing that too.
Oh, thank you. And you provide such a safe space for that. You were in. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice to know. And it's like a public space as well. So it's, it's a big thing to share something.
It is a big thing when you have like a bit of a, when I have a bit of a public persona, right?
Yeah.
And so what I decided to do was to sort of make an announcement pre the unveiling date of my name.
Yes.
So that people were prepared. And I talked about, you know, we're all in relationship with each other. And for me, relationship is the space between you and I.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm. And so that space, if I'm changing something quite significant about me, that has to have an effect of change on you if we are in tune with the relationship and the space between us. So I kind of prepared people, and particularly, you know, I work with vulnerable people, so preparing clients for that change coming. And then the unveiling day was chosen because I checked with my astrologer, and you know, we really worked on like what is the appropriate timing, and as it turned out, it was the day before the equinox. And yeah, so it just kind of all flowed really easily in that way.
Wow, that's huge, isn't it? I just love how you demonstrate such a level of thoughtfulness. Obviously, you've been through the process of choosing this change and what it means, and then being thoughtful for your, like you said, your clients as well as your audience with your profile, just that forethought to prepare everybody is huge. And love how you demonstrate such beautiful leadership with that. So thanks. It's very admirable.
Yeah. Now I just got to work out how to work out the internet with all the old name and the new name, but that'll work. Yeah. So bad, I'm sure. Lord. That's the next magic.
You need a tech wizard.
Yeah. Come to me, tech wizard. Yeah. Here? Yeah.
That algorithm will bring it to you.
That's it.
And because our last episode was big, and I love when Shannon was reading out your bio, how invested and passionate you are about leading people towards, you know, their full expression of themselves, and how do you support them in that. And you've created the beautiful Lunation Annual Planner, and so that's why we were so keen to have you back on to discuss this tool in greater depth. Because there's, you know, there's a lot to it. You so beautifully, generously sent Shannon and myself one, and we've had a look at it, and there is to really make the most out of this, like, life tool. We wanted to do a whole episode dedicated to it. So that's what we're digging into today. What can we expect to see in next year's diary?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. The Lunation Annual Planner is, I say, it's not just a diary, it's a workbook for a life that sets you free, yeah, for creating a life that sets you free. And so, you know, it won't be much different to last year's planner, and it's been in publication since 2015. It holds all the dates and times and events things, yeah, like any diary. But then also throughout it, there's a formula provided of to how to create your vision, like how you want to be in the world. And then the formula is there to actually reach that, yeah, to actualize the desires and the dreams that you have, rather than just like writing things down and having these kind of ideas and dates and appointments and things that never kind of get you anywhere, because you're always getting distracted by the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talking about that off air, seriously.
Yeah, Shannon and I are like nodding.
Yeah, perfect. We're just saying, like, we're both, like, I'm 44, Laura's nearly 40, and we're just having this little conversation of, you know, our life's pretty much half over and there's still so much we want to do, and you just feel like the weeks fly by, and before you know it, like, it's what, it's, you know, Christmas is looming. It's
yeah,
crazy.
This time
we're not
of,
at the
year.
End of the year. Yeah. And everything seems to speed up, I reckon, from September. So,
And there's a piece there, like, so the planner really works with what I call the rhythm, but what other people might just, it's easy to think about it as in, you know, the what probably witches call the wheel of the year, or that seasonal cycle that happens throughout a year. And if we think about that, we think if a starting point is winter and it's kind of hard going, there's a lot of foundations to be laid. There's a, you know, you're still putting the manure on the ground and planting the seeds and tending the seeds. It's a lot of work. But then as we come around that wheel and we hit the peak place in summer, like that's almost a tipping point where it's like you've pushed the rock all the way up the hill and now the rock can go down because the foundations are laid, your plans are there, like, you know, it becomes easier. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something in terms of life stages that we get to in our mid, you know, in our 40s, mm-hmm. we get to that place where it's like, okay, well, I've done this work hopefully for a while and the foundations are there and now the rock can roll down the hill a bit. You know, hopefully gently, not screaming down the hill. But it's not necessarily as much of a push up as it could have been when we were like in our 20s or 30s. You know, most people get at some version of coming into themselves a bit more, feeling more comfortable in our skin and bones, you know, throughout those 40s. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, that last shedding of the skin to get there. Mm. But then, yeah, and we know of so many stories of people who have done like hugely successful things in that later stage of life.
Very true.
I think that's got to do with that energy of coming into from spring to autumn, that phase where we are harvesting and reaping what we've sown. That's mm-hmm. what we talk about with the wheel of the year. So you're there. So don't worry. It's happening.
It's going to happen live on this episode.
Maybe. It's already in the process of becoming.
Oh, yay.
I love it.
Oh, semi shitting my pants.
It does start with your vision though, right? You don't have to. You've already done it. You're already in the becoming. I talk a lot to people about the journey and like there's no beginning. Like how do we find the beginning of a journey? Because is it when you first heard of the Lunation Annual Planner? Is it when you first had an idea of a big wild dream that you had? Is it the first time you encountered magic? You know, like all of these things are so connected. So too bad, Lara, you're already in the process. There's no way out now.
You've got news. That's true. I love that so much.
So we did speak about doing the vision planning session today on the podcast for everybody. So let's get into it.
Yeah. So my idea here is, so there's an article on my website that people use when they use the planner, right, to start to set in motion what their vision is, so how to create a vision statement. And what I thought would be fun with you women is to, like, for you to go through that process so I can talk you through it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And then, of course, all our listeners can get it too. They can do it, yeah. So listeners need to know this is going to be like a pause and start process.
Yes.
Podcast. So maybe this isn't the one for driving, right? This is one that you do at home.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's our plan, right? That's what we're going to work on.
Yeah.
We're going to create your amazing vision statements for this next phase of your rhythm.
Sounds perfect. It sounds exactly what we're like cooked and we're ready, aren't we?
Yeah, big time. And even just the timing with our conversation this morning. It's freaky, but anyway,
it's uncanny. Of course it is.
When you work in magic, there's no coincidence. Yeah. Everything's perfect, right?
So true. Yeah.
So true.
And so, the good old care for what you wish for.
Yes. Totally.
So to get prepared, what should everyone get together to listen?
Yeah, so people probably just need some pen and paper. That's all we need to start with. Or even, you know, notes in your phone, you know. But if you're a particularly visual person, you might want some extra colours to, you know, be a bit more mind mappy in the work that you're doing. I'm a very wordy person, so it works for me just to have a pen and paper. But, you know, people can kind of use the bare bones of what we're doing here to make it your own. That's the most important part of this, because it's all about your vision, what you desire your world to be, and how you and what you're going to be in that world, right? So this is not something that we're doing because someone else tells us, or like comparing to somebody else, or because we're expected to. Mm. It's really about, if you could be in a world that met the depth of your own desire, like that life's longing for itself. That's where we're working into now. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And that's something that comes through you, not from you. Like, it's not something even necessarily that you're only creating, but when you can get clear about your vision, what you desire in the world, that comes through you, and the world just kind of takes shape for you. Yeah. Like, it meets you where you are when you're really intentional in that way. And that's what magic is, right? That's what we do when we do spells or ceremony or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what everyone needs to prepare for. Let's head in. And I do want to clarify, there's a difference between vision and mission. And I talk about both. And in the planner, we have sort of a place for both. Yeah. Vision is what I just said, that, you know, the life's longing for itself and how it comes about, or when it comes about. The mission is how it's done. What is the doing?
Yeah.
So it might be part of your mission will end up being doing this podcast, yeah, mm-hmm. or it might be where you live, or that, you know, they're the sort of action-y doing bits. The vision is more this broader umbrella of what is the life that I desire, what is the world that I desire, even more than just my life. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's the gateway that we're moving through. And it's also important to know that we want that vision because it helps us be clear on our aims every day, like we said, to not get distracted. So if we have a vision statement that's very clear, we're able to work within the momentum that's required to get there. Yeah. And so we can always check ourselves in the vision statement of it, maybe if we get another like a suggestion from someone, like a new idea, or somebody gives us an offer of something that we're not sure of, you can go back to that vision statement that you said at the start of the year. And it's like, well, does that actually match what I said where I said that I wanted to be and the world that I want to live in? And it actually makes really easy decision-making then.
Interesting.
Not distracting.
What if, how do you go in changing the goalpost because something comes up and you're unsure about it, but you like the idea, but it wasn't part of your initial vision?
Yeah.
Because that could be distracting.
Well, and this is, yeah, totally. Mm. And I wonder actually if that's even more a mission question than a vision, because if we get the vision right, if we have clarity on our vision, that's the broad, like, what I want the world to be like.
Sure.
So if I'm just going to draw an example from the middle of nowhere. I'll draw an example that might be true for me, right? So in the way that you just said, Lara, like if somebody offered me another horse, which happens all the time.
Uh-huh.
I think we talked about horses in our last episode.
We did. Yep.
So if somebody offers me another horse, I need to go back to my vision statement and see how that checks in with what the world is that I want. Mm-hmm. And so then I'd be checking in with, like, well, what is this horse? What's her story? What would she be coming here for? How could she interact with this bigger purpose? And so does that make sense?
Like, yeah, it's like,
Yeah, so it's not even the offering, because yes, I will always be thinking about having other horses.
Mm.
Like the door is open, the gate is open. But it's got to match. It's got to match that bigger purpose, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love it.
And then you've kind of got that backup from your mission. So it's like, let's say somebody offered me a hippopotamus and I go back to my mission and it's like, well, I work with goats and ducks and horses and chickens. I don't work with hippopotamuses. I could probably say no to that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, gets it a bit deeper in.
Yeah, sure. It makes sense though. And I really loved at the very top, you were saying it comes through you when you allow your visioning statement, it comes through you rather than sort of from you.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that. It's a big difference.
I think that's a bit liberating, right? Because you don't have to be, like, you just keep moving in the momentum and the flow that's yours, and the other things will happen as they go. And this is what I found, you know, the right horses come to me because I'm moving in that momentum. So, you know, this is all about what I call self-crafting, and that's a future-oriented process. Like we're looking to the future. Yeah, we're constantly moving in a direction that it's not necessarily well, you know, I use that metaphor of pushing up the hill and coming back down again, but we know that it's actually cyclical. So yes. We're moving in the momentum of the cycle, and we do get peaks and troughs, but we also know that after a peak, there's going to be another trough, and then we're going to peak again. So it's, yeah, just knowing that there's rhythms and flows to that. And that's a really important way that this planner is built, obviously. Mm. And so we have to keep that in mind. Yeah, it's very different to how maybe the overculture would think about building your dreams and making your life work for you, because we're keeping in mind the darker states as well as the lighter states.
Yeah, that flow. That's what I really love about your lunation planner, is there is room for that reflective part of the process and then the moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get any traditional setups.
Yeah, and that's why I had to create it, because I can't do that linear thing. It doesn't work. My brain doesn't work like that. And this one works. Yeah, turns out it works for other people. Yay!
Yay! Love it.
And using that vision statement to keep referring yourself to, it means that you don't have to make every single decision. Because it's there, but also it allows you still to live an everyday life. Like, you're not always aiming for this big idea that's just so broad and, you know, mind-blowing. It's like you can check in. Like, you still know you've got to go to the doctor and take your kids to school and cook dinner. Those things have to happen. Yeah. Is there a way that they can happen in alignment and flow with the bigger, broader vision? That's sort of where we're always moving through. Yeah, those two states of being, what I guess people call like mundane muggle spaces. I don't like those words. I don't know what's a better word though. You know, just real. It's just real. It's like everyday human real experience to, this more infinite version of ourselves.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So that's the background for people that are like, haven't seen the planner and haven't done this work before. And like I said, there's a link on my website. So my business is called Institute for Self-Crafting, and the website is instituteforselfcrafting.com. And if you put /vision statement, then they will get the link that kind of talks through what we're about to do.
Yeah. Great.
And might be helpful to have both in place.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So for our lovely listeners, I will pop that direct link into the show notes attached to this episode.
Yay. Awesome. All right, let's go step one. So step one of creating your vision statement is to list your hats. And what I mean by hats is listing the things that you already do in your life, like the roles that you already have. So it might be, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a podcast maker. I think one of you is a ceramicist, maybe. Is that right?
Yep,
like an artist. Yeah. Yeah. So like all of those kind of things that you know you already do. So that at the moment we're kind of pulling ourselves away from that bigger version, bigger picture we were just talking about.
Okay.
Coming back into this moment, this time right now, who are you and what are the roles that you have in the world? And so we're just really kind of, simplifying. Or just list all the things. It might be you're a moneymaker. It might be you're a cook. You might be a teacher. Just be creative about, the roles that you have. And that can be a list of 40 things.
Oh, gosh. No wonder you said you've got all day.
But don't worry. We'll simplify it. We'll simplify it. Prioritize it later. But, for people that are working along, I think what we're going to do is, we'll kind of pause. Mm-hmm. And so they might not, our listeners might not hear all the pieces of us now talking this through. I don't know.
And through the magic of podcasting,
we'll be like just time warping and have stuff done like this.
Exactly. So you have done your step one of listing all those hats, and now we're moving into step two, which is prioritizing that list. So this is going to be a bit tricky and it could be uncomfortable, could even be quite confronting. But what I want you to do is put your items in order of what's most important to you. And that doesn't have anything to do with the expectations, the shoulds, I'm supposed to think this one's more important, but truth is I don't. I want you to be with what it is that is most important to you. And also that's not what you spend the most time doing, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily sit at the top of the list. It might, but it doesn't have to. So we're asking of all those things that you're already doing, which are the ones that you think are the most important to you, to your innermost true self? And really like take some time to honor yourself by stating what are the most important roles. And a way for people to think through that piece, if it's because for some people it's very tricky to know what is important to me. Yeah, we've all got life experiences that can be very tricky and accommodating and people pleasing and all of that stuff that we have tied into our own personal culture, I guess. So ways you could look at it is like, well, who do I do what I do for? That might help me work out what's important. Am I doing it for me or am I doing it for someone else? Am I doing it because it's a want, not a need? And how are the people around me changed by what I do? How am I changed by what I do in those roles? Yeah. So there's some other extra questions you could use if you're finding it difficult to get the order of importance of your hats. But that's what we're going to do now.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm finding this like quite tricky.
Yeah, it's like quite confronting, isn't it?
Would you be interested in saying a bit more about why it's confronting? Like, you don't have to say what the roles are, but just what's bringing up for you?
Yeah, well, I think it's obviously the expected roles that you should put first, but then the things that really matter to your passions and well-being, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and I'm really observing how mine have what I was automatically going to write. It's, you know, when I've actually stepped back and looked at it, there's a couple that have switched due to where I find myself at in the last sort of 12 to 18 months. I can still confidently say that being a mum is my number one, but the wife and the daughter and the sister hats that I wear have sort of been bumped a little bit, which is interesting because I'm still happy with all of that. Like, I don't want those relationships to change, but I guess I feel more solid in them. So I don't know. And my current job, what I do, that hat that I wear has actually bumped down a level to the student hat that I wear because that to me is feeling more important for future me, but it's not actually reflected in the amount of time I'm spending on it. So really interested in trying to have that disparity a little bit more evened out.
But yeah, I think that's such a good, that's an excellent way of like exampling it for people because it's really important to realize that we're made up of so many things and this idea that it's supposed to be hours for importance kind of thing is such a colonial way of looking at the world. This is not a natural way of looking at the world at all. And, you know, we keep talking about coming back to the cycle, coming back to the rhythm, like things overlap and they borrow from each other. And, you know, I might give you 8 hours of my energy and you respond with an hour of your energy, but to me that is worth 13 hours, you know, like it's just, it's never so clear cut. So I think it's really beautiful, Lara, explain that for people. And this is a piece too, like life's transitions mean that we want different things at different times, just like in the seasons, we want more blankets in winter and more sun, you know, more sunscreen in summer. Like it's not to say that whatever our vision statement is today lasts forever because it can't. We keep checking in with ourselves and going through. But what I heard you say is like there's all these other threads that have been weaving through that actually have nothing to do with nursing. That's and the right. crossover between, you know, putting together a podcast for people to learn and that helps them in their well-being and their sense of self and what's important to them, you know, like all that joyful expression of self. Like that's the same thing that you were doing through all those different phases of nursing. So that's the kind of stuff we're looking for. It's never about the nursing. It's about all the other threads within it. That's going to be part of the vision as we keep moving through this process, right?
It's so nice. It's so nice to be able to sit back and recognize that for what it is. Yeah. Because I know Shannon and myself have always been passionate about this podcast, learning and sharing that knowledge and being able to speak with brilliant people like yourself and, you know, sharing that with a wider audience. So, yeah, it's a huge big, you know, part of why we love this. Now I'm just speaking for you, Shannon, but I'm sure you would agree.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's great. Okay, so hopefully everybody else has had opportunity to do the same, to put their list in mm-hmm. order. Are you feeling okay about your list, Shannon?
Yeah, yep. I've got it sorted. I've got lots of things crossed out and rewritten and rearranged, but I'm happy with where it's at now.
Yeah, and even, you know, I feel like as I'm listening to you two talk about it, I feel like just even if people got to this point in the process, it's a useful process, right?
Oh, really, absolutely.
So, yeah. Like you said, confronting and, yeah, really looking at what's important for you. That's yeah. important.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly, because unless you sit down and make time to do this, it's not like your mind naturally wanders there as you're going about your way. You actually have to sit down and be prompted to do this work, yeah.
Yeah, and our brain loves to do the same thing it already knows. So if it is that you spend so many more hours doing one thing than the other, your brain would let you believe that that's the most important thing because it's almost the easy thing, right?
Wow,
so it's a bit of a challenge to your brain as well.
Love this.
Great. Yay. It's fun. So we're moving to step 3. Which is making it simple now. So now we're going to simplify. And so I know often what happens is you look at all those things on the list and you want to include all of them in your vision. Like, these are all the parts of me. They're all super important. But the purpose of this exercise, of course, is to get back to you and the essence that's you, which is kind of what we just spoke about. Mm-hmm. So this step is about finding a focus so that you'll have something to refer to in times of the doubt. With the big list of all the different roles, the aim is to actually get down to no more than 5.
Oh,
now,
wow.
That might sound daunting when you look at that. I saw your faces.
I have 13. I've got 13 things going on here, so 5.
How many you got, Laura?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh, close.
Excellent. Yeah. And I think that's really common. Yeah. Probably particularly for women, actually, because we do try to carry so many things at once. So the aim here is to get down to maybe around 5. What you might find is when you look through that list, there's some reshaping that could happen that could catch a few together.
Yeah.
And there might be a new word that holds that. So, for example, if I've got wife, lover, and woman of the senses, there might be a way for me to kind of collect all of that and make it one. So now we're kind of moving from the obvious words to being a bit more creative and poetic about who you are, who you are in the world. Does that make sense?
It does.
It does. Gonna need lots of thinking time here. How are you going, Shannon?
Yeah, I'm definitely combining things with ease.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
How interesting.
Like a lot of my stuff, because I do a lot of things. I write and I do ceramics and I do photography and I've kind of just lumped that all in under creative. But then I remember Lucy H. Pierce's beautiful term of creatrix. So I was like, I'm going to use that.
Perfect.
I'm gonna be a creatrix. So, And then the other one obviously is like wife, mother, friend, daughter, sister, aunt. And I'm working on that. How I can... It's funny, I just had like woman of the house come up in my mind. Like, it's, you know, like I'm not a matriarch yet, but in my home I am the, you know, the head kind of female here. And it's interesting. I'm still playing with that one. So I care for this home. I'm the one that's here the most. And also I'm very fortunate in my marriage. We're very much equal partners. He's amazing like that. I've never had that feeling of being owned or, you know, told what to do by any means. So, I'm going to own woman of the house.
I love that.
Yeah, I was reflecting on those, you know, titles, mum but I was reflecting on the nature of my relationships I have with my closest ones, and I just wrote down nurturer. Like, it's a really nurturing vibe I find myself slipping into, which I'm more happy with these days without being, when you're doing it, but then you're kind of resenting them for it. The martyr, yes. You know, when I realised a few years ago that I was definitely a martyr, I did a fair bit of work around that, not being one. So, yeah, it's more like I enjoy that role and I can recognise what I get out of that. Like, it's sort of nourishing me to be able to look after my nearest and dearest, especially when I can. You know, if my parents need more medical attention, I'm like, you're coming down here and I will book you into the doctors that I know and like. I don't see it as a drag. It's like just something I can do and I want to do it because I love them type of thing.
That's because I think the world through words. What I just heard you say was you're choosing mater instead of martyr. Yeah, and that mater, like terra mater, you know,
right.
Like
not
the mother.
Yeah.
So you would have heard terra mater as like a term for the earth. That mother, like instead of master, it's mater. Instead of mother, it's mater. It's more than mother. It's more than nurture. It's a whole, almost like a holding place. Yeah.
Wow.
That has that care in it, but it's, yeah, it's not just, and I think also there's an element there of a centering of self within that, which obviously isn't in the mater.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 It's like the healthy mother.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the shadow side, wouldn't it? Yeah. And then just simplifying my other stuff, especially where my work has been, it was obviously nursing, but I've just got leader/educator/healer at the minute rather than listing all the things that I do in that space. And student, I couldn't really get out of that one. I like being a student as well. I like learning.
Mm-hmm. So is that your five then? You've got to five?
Yes. Yep.
Well done. And you too, Shannon.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep. Done.
A+ students right here.
Thanks.
Smashing it out.
So then step four is what I call making it real. So you've got these simplified hats now, and now it's kind of like we go in and then we go in and out. So now we've simplified them, we've brought them in, and now we're going to flesh out each of those. And this is where it might end up looking a bit more like a mind map for visual people. And so if we take one of those, Lara said like the nurturer, take that and then really flesh out like what does that mean for you, what is the essence of that. Yeah, so now we're kind of moving away from the doing and more almost of the feeling or the experiencing of it. So you know, if you put artist, what does being an artist mean to you? That's the information we want now to really like dig into it a bit more. It takes it away from that top level like here's all the things in the world I have to do because the world is very busy, and like, but why do I do it? What is it about for me that I am doing these particular roles? And something else to another way to come at this is to sort of reflect, like if I go 30 years into the future, what if how do I say this? If I was this thing, the nurturer, in 30 years, what am I still feeling about it then? What do I hope has come about in that 30-year period? How have other people being in relationship with that part of me? Yeah, that's another way to kind of flesh that out a bit. This is what one of my horse people mentors talks about in terms of width and depth. So width is like the bunch of skills that we have, but depth is like the depth of connection and truth and, you know, the fleshingness of it that we can find within whatever it is that we're doing. So obviously when we talk about horses, it's about horse skills and relationship, but in yourself, in your relationship with the nurturer or the artist, what there's a width, there's like Shannon said, there's a creatrix in there that does the camera and the ceramics and all the things, that's width. But depth, what's in the depth of it? Maybe another way is to think about what happens for me in these roles. What stirs in me when I'm doing these things. So we'll pause and everybody can go and do that bit.
Well, that's, what I'm reflecting on with creative or creatrix or artist. And when I boil it down, it is literally my connection to the divine and channeling from the unseen realms and creating something in our 3D reality. And if I don't do that daily, I get really grumpy because it's like this innate drive in me, and I've been like that since I was a kid, and I get so inspired and it gives me energy. So that's
it. That's the stuff right there.
But trying to put that into words was really hard straight away. I was like, oh, my God, why do I do it? Why do I do it? Yeah.
And the things that we're writing down now are probably not the things that you talk to the person in the elevator about, right? Just
getting in. Definitely not.
This is your juicy center stuff, what I call the juicy center of, you know, if you're an M&M, then the chocolate goodness in the inside is like super, you know, it's vulnerable and it's luscious and we all want that chocolate center. It's so delicious, but it sometimes it has some of those candy shells on the outside to protect. So at the moment, we've already looked at the candy shells. That was the first few lists. Now we're getting into that chocolate, and it's a more vulnerable place, and it's more personal, and it doesn't get shared with everyone. That's okay, because this process is about you, not everybody else.
It's not easy.
Absolutely. We're moving way away from that verbal place now, right? We're getting into that experiential place, and sometimes there isn't easy words for it, so we do the best we can in this kind of process, because it is a wordy process. That's where I said at the top of the episode, people might want to, you might have colors, you might be drawing shapes in this mind map, you might be, you know, bringing in imagery, it might be sounds, it might be feelings, textures, all of those things are still part of the experience. It might not even be words, right? Just depending how your brain works.
I've been digging into the nurturer, and a lot of it correlates like with the healer side, in the sense that I was looking into what do I like about being in that space, and it's really allowing, what I've written so far is allowing a safe space for myself and others to be nurtured and to feel supported in that process, because it's such a vulnerable space. But, you know, first and foremost for myself, and, you know, the leadership side of it is just leading by example. But then I wrote leading and learning by example, because it really is, you know, it starts with yourself, but being able to demonstrate that, because, right, you know, people are learning by observation all the time. So if you can demonstrate your own, what you're going through, you know, and obviously that would change depending on your relationship with people. It wouldn't be out there bleeding over everybody for everyone to see, but just that process of going through it almost gives that opportunity for others to do the same if they're ready, or, you know, just being able to observe that sometimes is enough for someone else to get started.
Yeah, there's something about reciprocity there, and the giving and the taking.
Yes,
in,
very much.
In that space that we called relationship, right, the space between.
Yeah, definitely. And I love coming back to that, actually. There was a wellbeing session I ran for educators at the end of last year, and it was talking about, you know, your valuable commodities, which is your time and energy. And so what are we doing with them, especially nurses? At the end of the day, they feel like they've just given everything away and they're drained. And so then we just had a little exercise of reframing why we wanted to be a nurse in the first place, because we wanted to help people. And why do we want to help people? Because it feels good, but it feels shit when you can't. So rather than looking at it as though you're giving everything away, having a look at that reciprocal nature of what you're getting back every time you're driven to do a task to help somebody. What are you getting back? Are you getting satisfied that you've helped someone? Or, you know, just being able to look at those interactions from a way of what are you giving and what are you receiving in return? And, you know, for a lot of people it is, well, I am giving everything away. I'm going to stop that. and for others it was really being able to see it from a slightly different perspective and go, yes, that's why I'm doing this, even though sometimes it's within a system that doesn't feel like you're getting anything back and you are being sucked dry, you're still making the choice to go, so you're getting money back. It's up to that individual then to build onto that as they do.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're doing here, pulling apart those pieces of the whys. Why do I have a list of 14 roles? What's important about that for me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I've just been fleshing out woman of the house. And
nice.
And, it come back to heart of the home and to have love and presence. I think that is what I've boiled it all down to, like being the wife, the mother, the friend, the daughter. Mm. It's love and presence.
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm. That makes me think of that sort of hearth keeper idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. Mm.
I might change it to hearth keeper. I like that better than
you
woman
can have
of the house.
You can have it for free.
Keeper of the hearth.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, well, sometimes it's just hard to put your thoughts and feelings into words too, and being an outside observer, you can see it a bit more clearly what someone's trying to say. Yep. Like what you just did with me. So that's great.
Okay, so you've fleshed it all out. You've made sort of more realness about those roles that we started with that seemed kind of really dewy, and we're moving into that being space. And so step five is now working it into a reality. So if you look at the work and you rework all of that sort of mind map we've just created, we want to make it into a statement of who you'll be in the future, what the world will be in the future based on all of this, because this now we have like the essence of the Shannon and the Lara. Like, what is the essence of what's next? Yeah. Mm. Remember, we're future oriented, we're heading forwards. So, how can you take all of that and turn it into a statement? Now, it might be a statement as simple, it doesn't have to be flashy, it doesn't have to be like fancy words or poetic. It could be, but it could just be a simple statement like, my vision is to honor myself and my family and keep a happy home. Yeah, like that could be the vision. Or I think in the article, mine's a lot more poetic and kind of it's just got statements and concepts that I can just keep coming back to that help me hold all of that space. So there's no right way to do this, but it's really the overall umbrella of the reality that you're moving towards, the momentum that you're taking. Yeah. So have a play with the mind map and see what comes out. Now, it's probably important because we are on a podcast for witches. It's important to say like this is a very similar work that you'd probably do if you were writing a spell or writing an incantation, right? Getting very clear with your words being, and that's probably a whole other podcast to go into depth about that. I don't know if you've done that podcast before. Maybe you have. But there's certainly a lot around language, and so we just want to make sure that we're using very positive, clear language. I think about the difference between actualizing and manifesting. Did we talk about this last time?
I don't know. Can't remember. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. That, you know, for me, like I don't use the word manifesting. Manifesting, the definition actually means how it becomes. Actualizing is the it becoming. So similarly, when we're doing our vision statements, we want them to be very actualized, not manifesty, because it's like we're just manifesting this thing that we're telling the universe that we'd like to see how it becomes, but we're not saying that it's becoming. Actualizing is becoming. Ooh. So that's just an example of how we can really be clearer with that's how we can use the words in a really useful way, in that magical way.
Gosh, I love that.
Same. That is powerful. Words are powerful, aren't they?
Super. Yeah. Yeah, they're the first spell.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how would you term this? Would you term this as I am, or is it just a...
I like I am. Yeah, I am. I like I am and I be. That's what I usually do. So okay. I might put, I think it, I can't remember exactly what's in the article that people can see, but I think it's something like I am, and then it'll say like a few kind of statements of that, and then I be, and a few statements. That's how I do it. But like I said, you could just have a statement that just says, you know, I am a woman of the house and da 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 da.
Okay. I've got, I have to do more work. I'm happy to do it live with you. to get to the I am and the IB, because right now, work in progress. So far I've got, I move in a continual cycle with myself and others to build and nurture nourishing relationships.
Just jotting that down. With myself and others.
Yeah.
To build.
And nurture nourishing relationships.
Yeah, that's nice. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
If we use that same exercise that we did before, like moving forward in 30 years.
Mm.
So if we took, and not that you ever would take the vision statement from now all the way through to 30 years.
Sure.
It's gonna tweak and change, right? But if we just took that and you propel yourself 30 years and you sit with that, is that, how does that feel? What does that feel like?
It feels like the evolution and the cyclical nature of it is always sort of building and growing. So it would allow myself to further become as well as everybody else, wherever people are. Mm. Hopefully, then obviously being able to, you know, inspire others, inspire, for lack of a better word, to do the same.
Mm.
So yep. It's just this constant evolution.
I wonder if the I am just comes with I am moving instead of I move.
I can see that how that would.
Catches yes. more of that continuous cycle that you're talking about.
Yeah. I am moving. Yes. Perfect.
Yeah, nice. Mm. And another thing people can add to that, you know, we said 30 years out. Take yourself, you know, everybody here is a witch. They can move through many realms and timelines, hopefully. Take yourself out, say, 500 years from now and look at that statement and notice, like, this is really experiential. How does that feel in you seeing that? Like, and if it feels, what we usually say is, if it feels light and free, then that's the direction we want. If it starts to feel heavy and constricted, we need more work here.
Yeah,
because from my perspective, like whatever I'm doing now, I want that to contribute to a better world forever, not just in the moment that I'm alive. I want that to continue past me. That's the legacy that we all leave by who we be now leaves a legacy for what comes after.
Exactly.
So that's just another thing to play with that people can use. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Mm. It reminds me of that saying that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do we need to incorporate all five into your statement, or you can just focus on? Okay.
Yeah. I think that working through that five and then fleshing that out, it just gives you more of a sense of it, and you'll probably pick pieces and you'll see where there's overlaps again. And it doesn't have to be all the things. And also, again, this is a whole lifetime that we're in. And usually I suggest to people we're just doing a vision statement for the year and then we come back and check next year. So it doesn't matter if you don't catch all the things right now, particularly in the first few years of this practice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're not expected to get all the things done all the ways all immediately. Like,
oh, I thought there was a place in the planner for that.
we did talk about all the things, didn't we?
I'm only joking.
But I think that is that process, and it's, you know, I like to think of that wheel of year or that rhythm as something that each time we hit the same point a similar point in the cycle, we're actually getting a depth in it. So it's more of a spiral than a wheel. It doesn't just turn round and round and stay the same. Mm. So, yeah, you might not catch all the things this year, but part of your momentum is catching all the things. So each time the cycle goes round, you just catch a little bit more, a little bit more. And then some, you know, there'll be moments where you feel like, oh, yes, this is, I'm in full and total alignment with that vision. Like, here I am. Yeah. And then other times, like, life gets in the way. And
other times that spiral is wonky donkey.
Exactly.
other times you're spiraling.
Exactly.
I love
it. I've kind of whittled mine down, but I would love to get your input, Holly. Mm-hmm. I've got, because I've just tried to condense. Yeah, all the things, all the weavings that I do in my daily life and business and everything. So I've got, I am a creative energy weaver and keeper of the hearth and wisdom. I've got the wisdom in there for the podcast, obviously, because I feel like Laura that, yeah, we share, but we also connect and we also learn all at the same time.
Yeah.
So I feel like wisdom kind of encompasses
that.
Well, I think with a lot of my creative work, it is, I really want people to connect with their own wisdom through ritual. So that is pretty much my end goal with my pottery creations, is bringing people back to themselves and these little rituals throughout the day or at their altar. And same with my photography, like my oracle deck is for them to tap into their own wisdom again. And then my writing is for them to connect to their own wisdom. So, yeah, that actually makes sense. Mm.
And, yeah, it's almost like anything to do with creation is going to be do with it, is also going to have something to do with energy. Like, of course, if there's creation, of course there's energy. It's almost like it's a redundant word in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm sort of playing with, I am keeping the hearth as a wisdom weaver, as a creatrix. I don't know, there might be a way to change the order of the concepts that you've got there. Again, not saying that's right or wrong, just coming up with ideas for you to play with.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I've just broken it down to I am a wisdom weaver and keeper of the hearth, and that feels much better, and it pretty much sums up the two most important things in my life, which is obviously my relationships to my loved ones and my connection to my creativity and magic and all the things.
I love that. I love that. That feels so much, that just lands, it lands straight away. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Thank you for, workshopping that with me, because I probably wouldn't have whittled it down to that, because I do love to use words and I get very wordy.
It's easy to do. It's so easy to do. And we always want to include all the things and make it, like, make sure we cover all the angles.
Mm.
No, that's really lovely.
That feels nice. How are you going, Laura?
Good. Yeah, I'm good.
You're happy with where you've landed with your statement?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. So I think it's important for people to see, like, it, you can do it on your own, and that's great, and it's a good start, and there's nothing wrong with whatever you come up with, because it's your journey. But like you've both said, having that little bit of extra, and it might just be a friend, or, you know, I offer what I call vision clarity calls, so people can kind of take themselves through a certain amount of the process, and then we can have a session and we can do what sort of Shannon and I just did. That can work. But I'm super excited right now about this idea of doing group online sessions, and that will 100% be on the calendar by the time this podcast arrives in people's iPhones.
It makes sense.
Love it.
Yeah. I actually feel like I might have had that idea and then forgotten about it, planned it and then forgot. So, we're totally doing that. That is on – it's in my planner already while you guys are working on your thing. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
Same.
That's so awesome.
And so then when you get that vision statement, then if you've got your lunation planner, you turn it to, like, page 3, I think it is, in the planner.
Right up the front. Yeah.
Yeah, right up the front, and it says be the vision, and that's where you write your vision down. And so now it's so easy to find. It's not some piece of paper that you stuck up on the wall and it fell down or the kids drew on or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right there in your planner and you can constantly go back to it. And, you know, the planner is designed so that there's check-in and reflection points all the way through it, the new moon and the full moon. So each of those, you can even come back to your vision and do that check-in with yourself. Am I doing the things that are the priorities based on this vision that I have? And really, yeah, just keep aligning and aiming towards the thing that's important for you, not all the other stuff that gets in the way from the culture.
Yeah, gosh, this is such a timely workshop.
It really is. Yes. It really is. And we really appreciate, yeah, you taking us through this. It's been amazing. And I'm sure our listeners at home, hopefully you've all got your own pieces of paper and pens out and you've been working along with us, and yeah, we hope you're got something out of it. And I'd love to even, you know, if people want to share your vision statements, please.
That's a great idea.
Inbox us and share, please. We'd love to know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like take photos. Like, we do have the hashtag Lunation Annual Planner. So you could be, you know, doing your vision statements, take a photo, do some, maybe make a little altar. Like, you know, I love this work with actual witches because there's so much more we can add to it. Yeah, I call it like singing the song to all your friends, bringing your friends in and then getting them to sing the song with you, your friends being everything on your altar and your kinship and, you know, all the colours and all those bits that we do as witches.
Yeah.
Please, everybody, like imagine a world where everybody knows what their vision is and they're moving towards it all the time in rhythm, in flow with themselves. Like, that's the fucking world I want to live in.
Yes.
Same here.
Exactly. Sign me up. Holly, when will the 2024 diary be available and how can our listeners get their hands on a copy?
Yeah, so pre-orders open October 10th and you can expect not to get it shipped until the beginning of December. And that's an active choice on our part as a company because I'm always just trying to break down the overculture and do the radical change things. And I think that...
Of course you are.
And I'm so aware of, you know, so many of the people that I work with because they are movers and shakers and want to create, you know, very creative and want to make change in the world, that we can, it's a very easy cycle to get in where you buy lots of journals and then you have this cupboard full of empty journals that you have filled in a few pages of. Mm. I don't want the planner to become one of those. So I really like it to arrive to people just towards the end of the year so that they're in the mind frame for it, right? So I don't put it on sale in July and you can buy it all the way coming through, like for the next year, you know?
Yeah.
The one of this year is always available right up until December. So you, people now can get a 2023 copy from me and you can do the work until then. But it's really important for me that they don't land in people's hands until December because that's when we're energetically ready to move into that next part of the cycle. So, yeah, so there'll be pre-orders will be open in October. And then they'll arrive in your mailbox in December. And you find them at instituteforselfcrafting.com/planner.
Mm-hmm. That's easy. And I will put a link direct to that page in the notes as well.
Sure.
Because that's just
easy. And I thought I'd just ask as well, because we do have quite a lot of overseas listeners. Is this something that they can access or it's more Southern Hemisphere?
It is definitely created for the Southern Hemisphere, just in the sense that you've probably talked about this before in your podcast. Our northern point of our map is the hot place, whereas for anyone in the northern hemisphere, obviously their northern place is the cold point. So things like that are going to be very reflective in the flow of this rhythm. And, you know, years ago I thought I might make one for the northern hemisphere, but it just hasn't happened. And so, yeah, I mean, it's doable. They could use it in the same way that Australians have and New Zealanders have had to flip everything we've read from the Northern Hemisphere since the beginning of time, right?
Yeah,
they totally could have a sense and a taste of that and they could do that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I haven't designed it in a way that it could be for both hemispheres. It just can't be in the way that it's created. Yeah.
Mm. No, but you can adapt it.
They could totally, people in the Northern Hemisphere could totally take it and adapt it. And it doesn't take much to do that with your brain to work that out. Yeah.
Mm.
Awesome. And before we wrap up this episode, is there a particular quote that resonates with you at the moment that you can share with our listeners?
Well, yeah, I thought, you know, sort of my tagline of my business is create a life that sets you free. I thought that was very valid for what we've been talking about today. So that's the quote. And yeah, you could hashtag that too.
Yeah, totally could. Totally could. But it's one empowering quote as well. So certainly in line with what we've done, and it gets you moving in that direction, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And it's all, to me, like the whole purpose of life is freedom. Like we're not coming here to be constricted and bogged down and locked into ways of thinking or ways of doing or supposed to's or expectations. Like just keep, if we keep creating a life that sets us free, then we're not only freeing ourselves, we're freeing the people around us too. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And it's so easy to become bogged down. It sort of happens slowly if you're not aware, if you're not as intentional with your time and where your energy goes. So I really, really value this exercise and everything you do, really, to learn that there's other ways of doing it, but to learn how to do it as well. You know, it's nice to know that it exists for some people, but you're really about making, like, people grow their skills in order to do it. So that's just perfect.
Yeah, and I think it's very easy in the witchy ways of thinking to get stuck in dogma as well.
Yes.
And so I'm always trying to create something that's totally accessible from our pagan-y, nature-y kind of mindset, like to be able to totally delve into that without the dogma. And that's what nature is. Like if you just follow the flow of nature, there's no bloody dogma.
No. Like, it's just there.
Yeah, and there's things that are valid in certain places and certain times, and you know, but it's they're not the strict rules that humans are capable of making for ourselves.
Very much so. We like all these rules, don't we? Now, Holly, every episode we love talking about a divine tool of the week, and my last question for you today is to you. Do you have something that you love to work with during ritual that you can share with us?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned before, we've just come off seasonal retreat, and one of the big pieces in my seasonal program is around handcrafts. So doing things with our hands. And so whether that's doing it in the process work as we're sitting around throughout retreat, but then also coming into ceremony and using the things that we've created with our hands as part of ceremony is really important in my work. So it's that piece around sacred productivity, right? It's a doing, it's very active doing, but it's tweaking the overculture of the doing because you have to doing to be that sacredness of it. Sort of what Shannon talked about with her creatrix stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually I think Shannon mentioned it before, the taking of bits that aren't really anything and turning that into something is like, that's the creative power. And that to me, that's what ritual is. That's what spells are. That's what ceremony is. And we're on the steam train again.
It's your train this time.
It's a really radical act, like to take things with your hands and make something either beautiful or useful or meaningful. That's a radical act in an overculture that tells you that you have to purchase and consume and get the next best thing and be somewhere and do something made by someone else. Like handcraft in ceremony to me is like, you are unfolding in the way that the mystery and the universe does in every part of all those seasonal elements that we talked about, all those cycles, but being able to do it with your hands and make it a thing is really powerful, and it's very empowering.
Yeah.
I just got chills. Love it.
Yeah.
And I totally 1,000% agree with everything you just said about handcrafting, and especially in ritual is next level.
Absolutely. So I can share, do you want me to share like what we did at this retreat that just went past?
Oh yes, please.
Yeah, so being spring, so you know, each of the retreats obviously are working on the essence of that season, but their process was to, they were creating sitting mats, so mats that they could take outside, you know, and sit in, whether we're in ritual or just when we're doing craft or whatever. But what we did was we asked them to first go and find a stick from nature, and then they carved their own crochet hook, so quite a big fat crochet hook. And then we had lots of op-shopped sheets and tablecloths and things like that. And so then they crocheted the rounds, you know, and wow. So there's so wow. much symbolism you could do with that, right? We've got the, you know, that wheel that we keep talking about, that round cycle, but also obviously the layers of the concentric circles or spirals. So there's a lot that each person can bring themselves into whatever they, however it looks at the end of that. But yeah, so there's sort of the steps. And so when we teach these kind of things, we give very basic instruction for people that might not have it, but we don't tell you exactly how to make a hook. We might show you some hooks and then like, this is your process now. Mm-hmm. And the creative process often is the pattern that we have in life in all the ways. So it's very, you know, somebody might be carving and almost have it perfect and think, oh yeah, I just want to do this one more thing, and then it breaks. Yeah, for example. And so then we can reflect on, oh, is that a pattern that happens in your everyday life? Like, you know, things like that that we're able to do with the creative process is really empowering too for people, because it's something that you embody then. It's not just sitting in a room with a therapist talking about your patterns and not really changing them. Here we actually get to embody the change. So you go and you pick up another stick and you start your another hook, and this time you don't push it that extra piece, and it comes, yeah, you're able to get finality there in the cycle, and now it's a changed situation. Now the pathway is different from here on in. Yeah. So that's the power of the handwork.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. It's so cool. And they can become heirlooms as well. It reminds me of my nan's mum's crochet blanket that I have, you know, made square by square and all joined up. And actually, today would have been my nan's 100th birthday. So that's just a nice little realization.
That is. That's a beautiful full circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And I love this blanket. And I never met my nan's mum, but it's here with me like every day. I just love it. And it's so special to me. So I never met nan's mum, but she's with me all the time.
That's legacy, hey? That's how we pass that stuff forward. Those pieces of wisdom, like how I was talking about changing my name to bring in, you know, the belongingness of my ancestors, that blanket gives you that belongingness of your ancestors.
Very much so, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So good. Yeah.
Oh, Holly, you are just a magnificent, magical creature. Thank you so much. I feel like I've been on a magical mystery tour, but not mystery as such, because like you've sort of plucked it from us and presented it to us in a way that makes more sense. Thank you so much.
I'm glad. I just like it when people have clarity. It's going to make the world easier. Yeah, if we're not tripping over our own patterns and our own wounds, then we can actually be in the world in ways that are functional for everyone, and it's just going to make a better world.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Learning how to get out of our own way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And to all our beautiful listeners, thank you so much for joining in this beautiful exercise. We hope you might have been able to, you know, play and pause and write and become a lover of all things Holly, as we are as well. And like I said, I will include all Holly's links.
Yeah, it's probably important to tell people that if the group thing sounds like too much for you, then there's also that option to do one-on-one with Vision Clarity, so we can put those links in too, and have all the accessibility for people to create wonderful lives that set them free.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Holly, and thank you to our beautiful listeners. We'll be back with you next week.